everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, host of Wise Women on Progressive Radio Network. And I'm so excited today to have a wonderful guest on. She was a longtime friend. And let me just, in her own words from her website, I'm going to give you a snapshot of who this amazing woman is. And she says, she is the owner and caretaker of this amazing herd. She said, "I was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, into the lineage of the Hunkpapa clan of the Lakota tribe and descended from the lineage of Sitting Bull. My father provided care for the sick and abused animals from both wildlife animal centers and from circuses. It was on his deathbed that I learned of his lineage, and he delivered the message that I was being called upon to care and protect the white buffalo. Through my father, I met Frank Falcrow, and he was Lakota ceremonial leader, and Will Sampson, Native American actor. And following his death in 1988, I embarked on my journey. In 2001, I was contacted by Gray Wolf and Barry about four white bison that needed help because their owner had a heart attack and he needed to move the bison from South Dakota to the Grand Canyon area. When I went to see the bison, I fell in love. I remembered my father's words, raise the money, move the herd, and have been caring for them ever since. You can read more about my journey in my book." So with that said, please welcome Cynthia Hart Button. Hi, Cynthia.
How are you? I just want to say one thing. It's Fool's Crow. His name is Fool's Crow.
Okay.
There's a typo.
Yeah, I was stumbling on all that, but I just wanted to have that presence in our starting journey. And yeah. Cynthia lived here in the Sedona area. I don't even know how many years ago it was.
I came in the 80s, early 80s. And then I was there at Bradshaw's Ranch and Mary Lou Keller. And I was a cowgirl from them taking care of Brahma bulls and moving
them.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, I took the last wagon up Sedona before the roads were completed. They were doing something of fruits and vegetables from Sedona, from the vegetable fruit farm there on the 89. And that was the last horse and carriage that ever went up and down it. And then they moved everything to Schnibley Hill. And at that time, Mary Lou and all of them were moving the cattle from the lower Sedona in I think that's Bryce Canyon. Boy, I don't even remember the names anymore, going up to Schnibley Hill. And we used to take them up on horseback. So real Western days, eh?
Yes. But you've lived a very adventurous life. And the time that I spent with you, which, God, I guess it was over 20 years ago. I can't believe it. But, you know, when you have that heart connection like I do with you, it's like yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and the time I spent with you, it was just so precious. And at that time I didn't have all the businesses and I had, you know, a little social time to be to enjoy myself.
Yeah, you had those cute little dogs. They were so adorable.
Yes. My baby's now on the other side, jumping around in the heaven. But, but you look fabulous. And I'm so proud of you. I couldn't be more proud, because it has become, more and more clear that, I think we're a soul group that just had an agreement to come here and contribute and make a difference. And we're doing our job. We are. And it's so inspiring to see what we haven't had the opportunity to connect one-on-one for a long time, but I always kind of see what you're doing and know that, you're doing such a wonderful job to make, the contribution that is your part to do. So with that said, would you tell us a little bit about what you're doing, where you are, and how your life has unfolded?
Yes. Well, when I was in Sedona, I was just a lucky, carefree little girl running around playing, fun and having Jeep tours and doing all that great day. And my dad was dying of cancer and I got called home. And on my as you read, my father's deathbed, I thought he was from the morphine was hallucinating, but he said, one day, one day you're going to have to care for white buffaloes. I mean, I said, Dad, you mean white wolves. I have white wolves. I have 9 white wolves.
Oh, I know. I loved your wolves. Oh my God.
And he says, oh no, honey. He said, they're going to call, have a calling and you're going to have to, he said, watch for the red cloud. There'll be a white cloud and there'll be a man with horses, well, overlooking horses, the 19th carrier of the white buffalo pipe. And he said, he goes, the responsibility of these animals, they have the right to be here. The white people don't understand that these are sacred. They're not animals that you should be eating and all this stuff. And I thought, wow, what is my dad on, you know? And then sure enough, 2000, I got the call from James and Jim Riley saying, hey, you know, I've got these white buffaloes. I have to move them from this area. And I said, well, why don't you take them to a tribal? He goes, I don't know who, what, where, when, and how to do all this. And they're fighting over who gets what and where. And he goes, I'm too weak.
I remember that fight. I remember that whole thing that you had. your tiger mama had to come up and really take charge. Yes.
Yeah. So
keep going.
I had to go against nations, white people, white men. You know, women, they said, oh, can't handle buffalo. They can't handle buffalo.
And well, we're like, going to show them.
Oh, really? So anyway, I've traveled from brought them down from Flagstaff, and I took them to Jim's hometown, which was the Oregon, and raised them there in Bend, Oregon. And then the grass wasn't as good as we wanted. So we went to California, which was really crazy. We were in the fires in California, was able to get the buffaloes out. And Miracle Moon, our main buffalo, she was passing on. She was pretty old. And I prayed to her, and I went into Sweat Lodge, the Humpapa tribe, which thank you very much for pronouncing their names right. Humpapa, a lot of people can't pronounce that. They're a division of the Lakotas. They were the first people. And my elder told me, he came to the dance. He said, Miracle is going to be leaving you. And Miracle was like my mother. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
And I went into the lodge, Sweat Lodge, and she... Sitting Bull and my dad came to me, and they said, it's time to come home. And I'm like, well, the earth is my home. Where do you mean? And they're like, I was a little more vague about it. And Miracle Moon goes, I want you to go by Serpent Mount. And I went, okay, that's Ohio. Now I'm like, oh no, I'm going back home. So we looked around near, and the only thing I could find, and it's a big problem with buffaloes because a lot of counties and a lot of areas do not want buffaloes. They're considered dangerous wildlife and yada, yada,
oh,
yada.
Oh, you've got
they
to
are.
Be kidding me.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Yellowstone has been a big example. I mean, you walk up to a camera to a wild buffalo. Yeah, they're going to charge you. Why would you even want to do something like that? But
I know. The consciousness of people just amazes me.
Yeah. So our buffaloes are a little more futonish. I mean, if I could put a bed and a mattress out there, they would sleep on it. But they're still dangerous. I mean, you can't come around them with their babies. We can because we're the handlers. We're the feeders.
Yeah.
22 years of respect with them. But I still wouldn't go in with the herd, a whole herd. I go in with a couple of them, the ones that I know love me to death. But I wouldn't attempt to go into a whole herd of buffalo because when they're like goats, when they want to say hi, they whack you.
And oh, right.
I
love goats. I had goats. I love goats. Oh my God. That's a big missing for me in my life right now. You know, because
Well,
I love
anyway,
them. I'd have them in my house.
Yeah, well, little Arizona, he one time I was in there putting water in the water tank and he threw me in the water tank. So stinkers. And in one time I got in front of the big bull, which was the craziest thing. I thought Jim was going to have a heart attack. And that thing, I was telling it to go. And I realized, you know, because I raise wolves, that they don't listen to commands. And he started him screaming, get out of there, get out of there.
Oh,
and of course, guess where I jumped back into? I jumped right back into the water tank. And it was like, Then I was in Jim's water tank at least 10 to 15 times a month because I'm trying to train buffaloes, which are untrainable. But I finally mastered it. I mastered it food. So I can load and unload them. I had big guys come in and go, oh, I'm going to load your buffaloes. And I said, oh, yeah, go right ahead. Try it. And they get their whips out. And I'm like, don't you even put a taser or a whip on my buffalo. And one guy was giving me a hard time, and Miracle Moon came around the corner and she grabbed the whip with her horns and threw him on the ground. And I go, no. And she was about ready to douse him a couple times. But, you know, my bulls are protective. I've had other animals come around and they chase them off. So they kind of know who mom and sister and who is who. They take care of the family. And our buffaloes are really fun. They're dancers. They dance on the full moon, or they dance right before a baby's being born. They go and Yeah, they have all kind of ceremonies.
Do you have video?
I have video of them. Yeah, I'll be more than glad to send you some over. And the babies are just so cute. We just had one born on the crescent moon. So her name's Crescent Moon, and she's adorable. She runs over top of her dad's head, and she typical kid. On her mom, runs all over the place. They're so adorable, but they are dangerous. I have Sonny Ray, that was born. He is one bull. If he'd ever hit you, you know, he's 3,000 pounds. You would be dead. You know, they're nothing to mess with, but. They eat apples, fruits. They have mineral licks and mineral different stuff I give them. They have their great 219 acres, and they have their creek and their swimming hole. They actually swim. They go play all day and eat. But we are the non-kill shelter. So I'm not sure if we're the only non-kill shelter, but we've been taking care of this. My husband and I have been taking care of the animals for over 22 years. 7 days.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
I know about the 7 days a week, but you know, it's interesting because I just recently posted on my Facebook page this video of this water buffalo in Africa. Yes. And there was a pride of lions. They were lions attacking this water buffalo. And then the whole herd came, the water buffalo herd came and just bucked all those, the lions. I mean, there were about 8 lions, and that water buffalo came and attacked the lion pride to protect that one of theirs. And I posted, aren't these the kind of friends you want to have?
Exactly. Well, my girlfriend, Linda Tucker.
I looked at that and I went, oh my gosh. You know, they came, the whole herd, and they were just like, get out of our way. And a massive, power of those.
Yeah. Well, I was saying Linda Tucker, she's from Africa. She has the white lions there. And she was telling me some of the unbelievable stories of her white lions do. And I said to her, I go, and I said, I'm so glad that my animals are vegans too. I don't know if I can handle seeing these lions go after different prey, because they put prey in there that's live. And I'm like, I don't know if I could handle that. Ours hang with the bears and the cats and the wolves. They don't like, the coyotes are okay. But sometimes if an animal gets aggressive, they will run them off. But they run more men off for me. Like if I'm out there and somebody gets aggressive with me, all of a sudden they go, and they come charging the fence, and you see these people backing up, and I'm like, don't get close to the fence. I'm picking up.
Oh my gosh. These are great stories, you know. And it's like, I just never understand people that don't have that connection with the animal world, because I mean, we know what a gift it is for us to connect on that level with them. Would you, for our audience, be kind enough to explain the importance on a spiritual level of what the white buffalo brings to us?
Yes, they're the pathfinders to our nations. We have 550 nations, and 13 of them honor the buffalo as the animals of the directions of the north. They're pathfinders. Some call them peacemakers. They are very peaceful animals. They're very quiet. They don't move. They sit down and they watch the moons. They watch the sun. They're dancing at sunset. They're very unique animals, and they migrate. You know, we're one side of the land, and you can always tell when it's going to rain. They're very telepathic. But the buffaloes represent to most of the nations, they are the pathfinders. They're the ones that lead you back to your nature. And when I was in Sedona, I was a wild, crazy, I call myself Banshee chick. And they kind of tamed me down. They kind of like went, hey, you're a little wild here. You better start learning about the stars, and you better watch the climate. Better watch the land, and you better be caretaker. You know, these over here, we got to fix this side of the land, and you got to do this. And Miracle Moon, the buffaloes, most animals are telepathic to you. You can tell by their sense of sensitivity to things, their eyes, their actions, their mood. Most animals are unconditional. There's a few that kind of aren't, but they're mostly unconditional. But they taught me who I am. They taught me my strength, my weaknesses, how it's not, if you have a weakness, maybe that's somebody else's mission, and maybe I just need to let go of that. And they brought me
that's
aware.
So important. What an important part. Wow. Yeah,
they taught me kind of right from wrong. They also told me respect. And it's not about the color. It's not about your beliefs. It's not about your structures. It's about you are a human being in a human design. So you have to take care of you so you're capable of taking care of others. And how you take care of others is constantly being kind and loving and warm and supportive. And I've turned my life, as you always know, over to service. My joy is seeing people succeed and being happy.
Yes, and me too.
Yeah, it's like, hey, life's too short, you know. Don't hold on to all those grudges or who did what and where, when and how and who looks like this and who looks like that. Oh, for goodness sake, get over it, you know.
Get over it. Yeah.
And my biggest mission in this lifetime was to give animals rights of being on the earth and not being tortured or on a meat factory or being of service to the humans with, you know, riding saddles,
yes,
being weird with them. I mean, yeah, saddles are okay, yes, as long as you're not hurting the animal. But
yeah,
it's crazy what people do with the animals. I mean, it's just absurd.
Oh, the elephants, just, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, so you know? I'm here to protect the wildlife.
Like, yes, yes. Yes. Well, you know, a dear friend of mine years ago when I was living in LA and I had my talk show then, RSVP Hollywood, times I went out to Shambhala, Tippi Hedren's Animal Preserve. I don't know if you remember, if we talked about this even, but, you know, of course, Tippi took all of these great cats and the elephants and, you know, she was such a protector. Mm-hmm. She's still alive. God bless her.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yes, she is. You know, I'm so pleased that she is. And of course, she's Melanie Griffith's mother and the grandmother of, Dakota Johnson, who was in 50 Shades of Grey, which I love that movie, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good one.
Well, I think it shows a lot of interesting principles about the male-female relationships. I have a whole different spin on that. You know, some people think it's all, you know, kinky sex. No, there was so much more to that in terms of understanding relationships to me.
Yes.
But that's another whole journey.
Yeah.
But, you know, I took a lot of video with her and her, you know, she primarily had the great cats. I think she had like 52 great cats and a couple of the elephants that I loved. And Tippi was so cute when I was out there. I wish you were closer because I would definitely come out there and, you know, shoot video with you and your
Anytime.
Wonderful herd.
Anytime. Vacation spot. Well, a lot of happening here.
There you go. Well, she would have this one tiger would suckle her thumb. She'd have that thumb of her thumb in the tiger's mouth, that kind of relationship with her. And then we'd be out there shooting and she'd see one tiny wisp of a spider web and she'd freak out. I laughed. She's so afraid of spiders, but she'd go in there with with her hand in the mouth of her tiger. So she cracked me up, you know.
She was like one of them. I remember her.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And, you know, and she suffered some of the bullshit, the compromises that so many of the power brokers in Hollywood, she was at the effect of that too, you know.
Yeah, she was. And I know some of the other people that had cats and they were abused. But, you know, we all went through this. I've had poachers. I've had all kinds of wild stuff. I had a guy.
Really?
Poacher and he was going to try to take the buffaloes and I said not before you get past me. And the next thing I know my bull Hiawatha comes around the corner and Arizona comes around the corner and I go, which one do you want to have? But we've had two shootings of poachers. Well, that's why we left Bend, Oregon, because it got to be really dangerous there. There was a lot going on in Bend, Oregon at that time. And it's so crazy how people are. They have to kill everything, you know. My cousin down in Texas lost his white buffalo. Somebody shot it, RB Little Horse, a cousin of mine. And that was a big news. And that's when the President Obama was in, and he declared white buffalo and made our animals extinct so they could go on the endangerment list. And that was the greatest thing that president could ever done for us. And it was amazing. And I was going to send him one down because I had some extra males. And he's like, don't, because I don't trust these people here that it might happen again. But it's sad. He had these that white buffalo for children that were handicapped, and the kids would go.
I know how important
it, the baby and the mama. They were very gentle, and those kids grieved. Oh, it was so horrible.
When we even have to put down our pets, you know, I'm at the stage where one of my dogs is, you know, maybe on our lap. I can't talk about her. I'll start to cry. You know, it's just too painful when we lose our babies, you know. And I was a mess for probably 2 weeks mourning over. I had a lizard that was my outdoor pet lizard, and I can't even talk about her. I'll start to cry. But I lost him in a really bad situation. I can't talk about it. I'm a big baby when it comes to, you know, that stuff. But
I'm taking chicken right now that raccoon got in with it, and it's beautiful with a black head, and then its rest of his body is this beautiful gray. And he killed one and nipped it, and that one I was able to rescue, and it's in the house. My husband's like, got a chicken in the house? I said, yeah. I said,
okay. That would be me.
And I'm nursing her back, and I call her a Kuan Yin because she likes to rock, and I play Kuan Yin music to her. And she sits on my chest, and then my daughter comes in, and they hold her. So she's becoming very spoiled and very loved. So
as well she should be. I don't know if you knew this about me, but my first husband, Bobby, he was, you know, I gravitate to, you know, men that love animals, you know, and he was even worse than me. So what happened there was lost one of our dogs. And so Bobby went to the pound looking for him. He comes home with goats and rabbits and, you know, all of these things from the pound. Who knew that they were there? So we had 9 rabbits, and we ended up with over 400 birds that I had to keep in separate cages. I don't know if you ever knew that about me. Yeah. And it took me 4 hours a day to go clean all the poop, feed each one, because, you know, the red rock roosters would attack other ones. And I had little cochins, and I had the Araucana who did the, you know, the colored eggs and all of that. Yeah. And quail, you know, I even had a brooder and an incubator. I mean, we ended up, I finally made a big sign that said Bobby's Funny Farm. You know, and then because this was in LA, because we had a whole acre where the house was, and for some reason there in Sepulveda in California, it was zoned for as much as, you know, 3 head of cattle. So nobody got in our face about it. You know, we had all these animals, and then because of that, you know, people would drop off, like they dropped off my sugar bear, my dog, with a mama kitty and 12 cats. So, yeah, so I couldn't have all the cats. So I found homes, of course, for all of them, you know me. But yeah, it was quite, but that when he brought the goats, that's when I fell in love with the goats. And then, you know, Billy and Nanny were, I named Billy and Nanny, and she had a baby goat. I delivered a baby goat, which was one of the joys of my, you know, life there. And of course, in the house. You know, you got to have the baby goat in the house.
Yes.
So, oh my God. I called the baby goat Tucci Matrella.
Oh my gosh. Oh
yeah, because, you know, back home we had all these crazy names of all my Italian half mafia, whatever, right? But
the good old boys. Yeah. And we named them after Italians. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I came home one day. I had a llama and 3 goats. And I came in the door with my wolves. And I remember poor Charles's face. He goes, "What's with the llama?" I walked right in the house with him now, you know, and he's like, what are you doing? I said, "Oh, just meet the good fellows. They just moved in."
Oh, so cute. And he goes,
"We went through the garage and take them into the backyard." And I'm like,
very cute. Well, my second husband, both of them are on the other side, unfortunately, right now. But he had a llama, and he was a big 6'6" guy, pro football player, right? He'd go into the pen with the llama, and you know how they like to, you know, wrestle. So he'd be in there, you know, wrestling with the llama because the llama loved that. You know,
yeah, they love it. That. Yeah.
Yeah. And every once in a while, he'd spit at us.
Did you ever try to shave him? Did you ever do his hair?
No.
Or did you have someone do it?
No, that was never part of it. But Doug had a farm in Petaluma, and we lived in LA, but you know, Doug had you know, this big you know, these vans with, you know, the bed, and you know, we used to drive from LA to Petaluma. And in those days, we were pretty wild and crazy and get a little sexy on the road.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm actually saying this on the air. So, you know, the truck.
Part of the journey. That's part of the journey.
Oh, yeah. 8 hours. You got to entertain yourself. Right. But those were again, very fond memories. I mean, I've had an exciting life, as you have. Yeah. And by God, I'll tell you what, girl, it's just beginning. I've got so much more to tell you. I mean, we have a very interesting, bright future ahead of us because there is, you know, I don't know. Did I ever tell you about the transmission I had in 1986? 6-hour transmission.
Yeah, because I was there.
Oh my God. No, I mean, there are some things that are unbelievable right now. And there's so much disclosure coming out now about, you know, extraterrestrials. And I mean, it's starting
it's
to happen.
Here. They come down here with the buffalo. I have a hillside and we keep seeing them. I look out my window. I live in a kind of a castle tower and it's an exotic house, of course. And we have a hillside on the other side, and we're getting UFO sightings all the time. And the buffaloes watch them. There's orbs. There's green orbs flying all over the place. I haven't normally. I've always connected to that. And we are now putting in an area. None of us have the courage to go up to the top of the mountain to find out what's going on. So I actually asked Chris O'Brien, you know, he's from Sedona and does the UFO TV shows.
Yeah.
He about coming out because he wants to go up the hill. We did some photographs of it, but the buffalo seem to really are very concerned. Like, what is going on up there? And I've seen some ships.
And I'm probably concerned because they, you know, a lot of, you know, the mutilation of the cattle. I hope they don't do ever anything to your buffalo that way.
I don't think so. I mean, we've had all kinds of encounters, and they don't seem to be bothering the buffalo. I mean, I haven't been out there. When I see him, I come back in to the tower so I can get photographs and get higher shots of them. But they don't seem to be a negative group of UFOs. They seem to be kind of friendly. And someone told me to start doing drums or music to them. And so I'm going to talk to Chris O'Brien about it. Because he's got, you know, Strange Universe and all those different shows that he does. And but I'm thinking they're looking at the buffalo because where the ships are coming down, they're like above the buffalo on the hillside. But I also found out that that is called Buffalo Mound because I live near Serpent Mound and there's a lot of mounds around here. So I'm not sure if the mounds are drawing them or what, but they're in my hayfield on the top of the mountain. There's a group coming this weekend that we're having a retreat, and that's what some of them are specialists in, the UFO and a couple dowsers, astrologers.
Oh, yeah. Astrologers. Yeah.
They're coming.
I'm a dowser, too.
Yeah, I remember you dowsing. And so they're
I'll
all.
Tell you, my accuracy has been spooky on spot on.
Well, you got to come out here, girl.
Well, I just might do that. Here. Yes. But oh my God, that would be so extraordinary if I could. I'd love that.
Oh my God, if you ever get away from your schedule.
Which is just insane, you know. I mean, yeah. God bless Gary Null. He's been wanting me to just, you know, stop being responsible for everything and everybody because, you know, it's in my DNA somewhere. But
you're a caretaker. You have always been a caretaker. You've been a great caretaker.
I mean, yes, I remember
a couple times when you took care of me in emotional stuff going on. The buffaloes. The buffaloes always know when, like, if Charles and I are worried about something or something's going on, they're all at the fence. They're so telepathic, and I think that's one of the things we're going to try to do is get the buffaloes to connect to the star people because they're very telepathic. I know this sounds wild.
Sounds fabulous. I love the idea.
Yeah, because they're always standing in and they're looking up at the hill and they don't run away. Normally, if something's negative, they move away from it. Like if I have once in a while, I'll get somebody that's here that's a little off rim and the buffaloes will just go out. They walk away. They don't want anything to do with it.
Wow.
Hey, we'll get them out of here. You know, they let me know who's good and who's bad.
Something?
Yeah.
And I know. It's crazy. But, you know, it's like, I mean, even, you know, when I walk outside and, you know how we just are, you know, we're connected. And, you know, there'll be a lizard and, you know, how they'll start to run away because, you know, it's a human being. And then I'll start talking my little talk to them. I talked to him like this in my little voice. And then they stop, they turn around and then they do the little push-ups for me, you know? And it's
so
just,
cute.
Yeah. And I mean, you'll love this one. I was on Verde Valley School Road one day and this big snake was in the middle of the road. And so I stopped my car, my car door is open and I'm directing people so they don't run over it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, some of the cars were conscious and some of them were being stupid. Well, I, you know, as I'm doing that, well, the snake knew I was a good person. It got in my car. I'm talking about a big snake, you know, and I drove it home. So again, just, you know, the telepathic nature of animals is just, we know this from our own direct experience, you know. And Gary Null, of course, you know, with his, he's got a couple of locations. He's always rescuing the monkeys and the this and the that, you know. He's an animal rescuer himself. And, you know, those of us who are on that spectrum of understanding the nature of existence and the possibilities that are there and the truth about our relationship to animals, you know? And I think it's just so sad when people are not of that mindset, you know?
Well, I drove one from California during the major earthquakes that you had out there. This was a long time ago.
I was there for both of them.
Yeah, the big one that you guys had in L.A., the swimming pool came in the house I was staying at, and I was supposed to do
a
radio.
That's what happened to me.
And
yes,
I'm not a
it was like a big bowl of water, and whoosh.
And what happens? A rattlesnake was in the water and couldn't get out. So I grabbed, there was a floating sock, some guy's sock going by. So I put the rattlesnake in the sock because he was trying to swim. And I went and I put him in the car and I looked at everybody. I said, I'm out of here. You can deal with your earthquake. I'm getting out of here.
Oh my God.
Kurt jumps in the car with me. He says, take me out. So I was going back to Sedona because I knew there was not going to be a radio show. We drove that rattlesnake to the desert.
No way. Oh my God. Who would believe these stories?
We left it loose and it waved at us and it was really nice.
Oh, isn't that amazing? I love it. Well, I brought the snake home myself and I had a couple of guys that were living there with me working on my house and they helped get it out of my car and, you know, it wasn't a rattlesnake. You're way more brave than I am. So,
I've got snakes around here all the time, and everybody's like freaking out. I'm going to kill that snake. And I go, don't you dare. That's my pet. He's watching for mice on the house. Don't you dare hurt my snake. And they're like, oh my gosh. But you know, that one house where I lived I think it was White Cloud. There was it was a garden snake. It was a big one and Life had it and it would go up in the rafters. And then when you guys would come over, it would hide, but it would be hanging down. Poor Ruth. I thought she was going to have a heart attack one day.
That's great.
We still have that excitement here, but now it's more like bunnies and possums. I got a pet possum. And raccoons everywhere. We have probably anywhere from 20 to 30 different bird. We have kind of a bird sanctuary here. But the what I was going to tell you about, and this is a prophecy of Harriet was telling me of the Peruvian. She's a shaman of Peru. And she said something about the condors. Well, right before this baby was born, and 9 condors showed up on our fence. Now, we're in Ohio. Condors don't come this far out. We have black vultures that come this way, but we don't usually get condors. So I took a side picture of it. You can't see them real good because I couldn't get that close. They're like, these things are like 5 foot, 6 foot tall. And they were there for the birthing of the baby. And as soon as she had her baby and it was walking around, the condors left. And I was like, wow, something's going on. And then I found out Peru was doing a major thing about the condors.
Wow.
And that's what this weekend is also to find out. A lot of the shamans are coming here this weekend to tell their journeys all over the United States, what was going on.
Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, we have different shamans that are coming. Gita from Africa, and there she's a sun dancer too with the Lakotas. She said the ancestors are here to tell something, and these light workers, and it's about the next shift that's coming. And it's really powerful about the earth and what's happening. And they wanted to do it in the presence of the white buffalo to honor that sacredness. And we're going to do a ceremony on, even though the equinox is, I mean, the solstice is now, we're going to do it on Friday and Saturday. For some reason, there's something about the lineups of stuff and everything going on. And I don't know.
On Friday and Saturday, our show, we record on Tuesday, but Friday is when we air this show.
Oh, wow. Well, this is a sacred time. This is a time for not, you know, we've been preaching the peace and prayer and love and light. This is the time of the unfolding of all that is of the human design is going to be given. All the veils are going down and we are going to see truth like we never saw truth before. There's a lot more, but I, you know, wait till the shamans talk about it, and then I'll be glad to report it back to you. But
yeah, let's do that, because we're hearing rumblings about some big event that's happening. And, you know, of course, the purpose that Gary wanted me to do this show to bring wisdom and information to our audiences. So,
It's a big gathering. And she was telling me it's time for ceremonies. It's time to put the, she, her terminology was put the color down. Put get out of the box, stop with all the projections and start looking at, this is not Asian. This is not Black. This is not white. This is a human design. It's time that we come together in the colors and make the true rainbow. And she said that in a short dinner, but she had a longer terminology. My terminology is similar to what she's saying. And they said it's the time for ceremonies. It's the time for the joy, the inners. I forgot what the word was. Some kind of inner perspectives of who we are and what we are. But it's the time, and I feel it has something to do with the aliens. I have the star people. I want to call them star people. Yeah. I don't like the word aliens because we're all aliens. But it's time.
Yeah, because alien means something foreign to us, and you know. Probably, you know, I mean, I'm going to send you something that I just watched this morning about disclosure. And this has been going on for 70 or 80 years. The government's been aware and has kept this from us. And, you know, I mean, we know, you know, it's like hard for, you know, my relatives back in Wisconsin to listen to Crazy Kathy's on it again. Oh, you know her. She's, oh, God knows what she's doing now. You know, God love them. You know what I'm saying? But I'll bet you do.
It's a great time. And you remember when Dr. Houston and Dr. Brown, they were talking about Tesla. We knew all this stuff way before now coming out. The stuff that's coming out is like kindergarten. And
correct.
But there is some other stuff coming that is going to be interesting. Yeah. But this is the time of the star people, because the Kachinas of the Hopi nations are space people. A lot of the different tribes and all over the world, Egypt, India, all these people have all had UFO experiences. And I think it's our turn to have them. Maybe people will get off of God being money and start and power and start taking a look at the real truth, what is on this earth and how important to take care of it, and how to nurture each other and love everything about the earth, not only the elements, but, you know, wake up, you know?
I know, and be respectful and be honoring.
Love, honor, respect, integrity, and truth, and unconditional love.
Yes. So, you know, before I'm a little remiss. Please tell people about your book, tell people about your website, and please, how can people interface and act with you?
The Light Within, My Journey Home to the White Buffalo. It talks about me living in a cave for a year with a pack of wolves and how I learned my way.
And you say that very just so casually, like, oh yeah, I just, you know, like everybody does that, you know, everybody takes a year to live with wolves.
Well, I thought they did.
Oh my God, I love you.
And how I survived it, and how I know if anything happens right now and the lights go off and all communications go down, I know how to do my food. I don't have to go to a store. I grow my all organic foods. We know how to take care of ourselves without all the material world, because we're self-sustainable, and everybody, because there's a time when we're going to go back to that. And people grow your gardens inside and outside. I don't care where you live.
You can grow potatoes in a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
My friend Ann Consorti and her husband are doing that in tech, and she has a podcast on Brighteon, and she's telling people how to do that. You know, and it's I just love my tribe. I have my tribe, of which you are, of course, part of and major part of. And, you know, even though we may not talk all the time, but, you know, we know we're there. We know we're all doing
and
our job.
We pick up wherever we're at. We might not talk for a year or half a year or whatever, but we always know what's going on, and we're always there for each other. And that's the
right.
key. If you called me and said, I need you, I would be on a flight out to find out what you need. because God, you're a very special, unique person, and I love you to death. You're just a superstar in my eyes. And you taught me a lot. You taught me a lot.
I did?
Yeah, you taught me patience. I used to say, don't worry about that. It'll all work out. Just calm down. A lot of the animal techniques when the dogs, and you show me how different. Oh, there were so many things. And if I had a problem, you were always there. Well, don't just do this, and we can handle that, and we can do this. And we did art shows. We, you know, we took her Ruth and different people of Sedona, and we had all stuff going on in Sedona, and you were just a trooper and director. You're probably one of the most powerful directors that we had in Sedona, or still probably is. And you were we always called you the mama, sweet mama, because you just
That's right.
Okay, what are we doing now?
And do you still? I taught you my recipe for my salad dressing. Wasn't that good?
Yeah. Oh yes, I still do that. By the way,
you we do.
I call it Franny's Taste of Choice.
Oh my God. So, you know, we should probably market it, you know?
Yeah,
my girlfriend, Cindy, she created her papaya salad dressing. She's kicking ass with it, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, yours would, all your cooking would. You could do a cookbook that would knock the socks off of people, you know? It's a great thing. I never got into cooking. I always because, you know, I was always on horseback. And so I was more eating the apples and the great white peach of Sedona. I miss so much.
Oh, I know.
People used to say, you hungry? I'm like, well, I've got Sedona. I rode horseback all over. There's enough prickly pears. There's figs, the apples.
But the peaches were just stunning. The first house that I was at, when I was in the village, there were three peach trees, and oh my God, to die for. I mean, just thinking about them, my mouth waters.
Sedona was the only place in the world where the white peach was, and they cut almost every single tree down. I was cried when I heard that.
Yeah, aren't they crazy? You know, when they were doing all that stupid construction by Tlacopaki, we had to stand out there and protest, and we did save the trees. I mean, are they freaking crazy?
Well, remember we saved Bell Rock from being blown up? Like Big Bear on the radio shows? We were doing radio shows.
Oh, my God, I know. Look who we are and what we've done.
Crazy things. And, you know, I keep saying they should take these golf courses out and put in animal areas, parks and stuff for animals.
Yes.
We took nature away from them, and they need their back.
Yeah. Out of Africa is a wonderful, the one of the owners, I had the privilege of him bringing me through the whole preserve, and it's absolutely wonderful. And he goes in with the tigers and lions too. And, you know, it brought me right back to Tippi Hedren and all that. Yeah. It just, you know, it was wonderful. Now, listen, how do people get your book?
Well, you can get it on Amazon. That's the quickest way. And you just put in my name, Cynthia Hart Button, and The Light Within, My Journey Home to the White Bison. And it's
Spelled H-A-R-T.
Buffalo
there. Oh, look at how beautiful that is. Okay, The Light Within.
He is one of my favorite. This is my father's feather that I put on here, his Native American eagle feather. And then this was my mom's and dad's wedding ring. And then I put White Spirit in the middle of it. My father's name was Uriah White Buffalo. So the book is about how I became and how it prepared me to take this mission on. And it's actually kind of a dumb blonde thing in the beginning. You know, it's a little crazy stuff like hanging off the side of a mountain naked in the middle of, you know, Washington State. In the middle of winter. But I mean, you know, crazy stuff like that. And lions, about the lion that came and saved my life and the pack of wolves. So it's actually a journey book about love, honor, respect, integrity, and truth. And most of all, unconditional love. It talks about the principles of life in a very comical. It's very comical. I mean, you know me, I'm a comedian.
I love that. Yes.
And Yeah, and it's kind of some of the things you don't want to do in the woods, you know, and some of the things you can do in the woods. And it's an enlightenment story about my father's death and one of my wolves die. So it's that whole journey. But I lived in a cave, and it had a waterfall coming down over the front of it. But I never thought in the winter, I forgot when waterfalls freezes. So it was a very Calamity Jane type thing to get in, trying to get in and out of my cave in the wintertime because it was solid ice. So
talks
about that whole journey and some of the pictures you'll recognize, I'm sure. I needed to get away. And Black Elk told me, he said, here's my book, Black Elk Speaks. Read this and do what it says and then come back in for the Sundance. And so I literally did what he said. I took the book and it says 365 days. You got to go live in the woods. I didn't know to prepare for Sundance. It's only 3 days and three nights. So when he came back a year later and I was ready for the Sundance, talk about looking like a banshee. I had feathers stuck in my hair and, you know. And he goes, where have you been? I said, what do you mean, where have I been? I've been up in the woods doing what you said to do in this book. He goes, you did that literally? I said, yeah, that's what you told me. And he goes, you only have to prepare for 3 days and three nights. And I went, that's the universe. on me.
Yes. But how extraordinary that you would follow an instruction and do that. And what I'm sure it was absolutely life-changing, you know, no doubt. Now, what is your website so that people can go?
Okay, well, I have two websites. I have the CynthiaHart.com, and that's for people that might want a reading or counseling or just wanting to know who, what, where, when, and how.
And or then spend time with you. That alone is worth, you know, something right there, you know.
And then the other one is WhiteBisonAssociation.com. And that talks about, we have what we call an earth church, Sacred World Peace Church, and that's a nature church. And basically, the nature church is a nonprofit that supports the White Bison Association in helping us, you know, get our tractors and our feed and our gas and that kind of stuff and helps the buffalo. But it also allows you to come to our retreats. And some people want to see buffalo or some people just want to learn about them, but they don't want them as pets because let me tell you, when you leave, you don't want them as pets. They're high maintenance. And they're more maintenance than a poodle. Okay, that's a lot of maintenance. But there's people here that want stargazing. We also teach different arts and glass and you name it, we do it. And if we don't have it, we will find somebody to do it. We have teachers come in from all over the world and they teach whatever they're doing. Like I have a Peruvian teacher coming this weekend and a Native American and a couple different things. It just depends. We get a listing of people and what they want, and then we put those classes together. Sometimes it's just a writing class of authors, and sometimes it's photographers. Sometimes it's just recording labels. You know, Charles is still a recording artist and does music and performs. So sometimes we have those, and I'll have actors come in from Paris and all over to hang out. And it's really funny because, you know, we're in a kind of a back hill type energy. Is not anything super fancy. It's just a small 219-acre ranch, and you have freedom and peace and quiet, and you're unplugged. That we do have,
and just to be able to be in the presence of that. Yes.
Yeah. And then we teach healing classes.
All of that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that people can see about that on your websites.
Yeah. And the universal laws. Some people don't even know universal laws. Some people don't even know there are universal laws.
Positive
and all that. So we teach all that, and the different Buddhas come in, Deepak, different people that we have, Glenda Green, Love Without End, Kara Ra with the Sophie Code. We have a lot of different people that come in and teach, and we have the kids, and then we have the wilderness outdoor thing and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We just have it all.
Wow. Well, you know, Gary Null has his healing retreats a couple times a year, and normally I go there as part of his staff. And he has me teaching acting classes, and he has me teaching my art classes and things like that. And I would love to come and volunteer and offer that to you as well.
Oh, I would.
I
love that.
Yes.
That lucky. How do I get
Oh,
you?
people just love it. And I do fun things because I have people do their artwork on t-shirts. So they bring that home as a memento of the experience, you see?
Oh, that would be fantastic. I mean, that's VP for people to make things and take it home. I teach the medicine wheel and teach different things in the medicine wheel with art. So that their art has become the compass. You know, it's the compass. And so I teach seasons through this, and it's all about picking up stones and putting them in your hand and laying them down.
Oh, yes, I know, to be that in my Karen Lawrence, my darling Karen Lawrence, who is like my adopted daughter. She's actually at ceremony right now with she is deep into the native teachings. And she's I talked to her very quickly this morning, but you know, they actually created a specific ceremony because of her, because she had done deep meditation and, you know, did her, you know, a week in the woods with her experiences.
Quest.
And a Vision Quest.
Is she a Sun Dancer?
Pardon me?
Is she a Sun Dancer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought so, 'cause that name's very familiar. All the nations are doing really major stuff right now. As I said, there's going to be something grand coming to us. And it's a good grand. It's not this negative stuff going on. It's there's something huge coming, but I don't want to burst the bubble.
Right. I know. I'm getting this from all different sources right now, you know. And so, you know, she's
light your flame.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You know, and I would love for you to meet her, and I'm sure she would love to come to one of your retreats.
Anytime.
Ideally, you know, Karen and I can come together. She is also an amazing artist, and she does, you know, these extraordinary canvases with, you know, the various chiefs of, you know, she does native. Oh, you won't believe. I mean, you would love some of her work. You know, I did two art shows for her because I just love to promote her artwork. And I'll tell you more about
paint
her.
The buffalo.
That should be her next opportunity. She does mostly native, you know, people, but that should be her next artwork. I will make sure she knows of that. So, Well, you know, we're kind of coming close to the end of our show, but, you know, I'm so grateful that we had this opportunity to be together. The time with you, I reflect on so many times, and it was cherished in my memory. And, you know, it's like, it was like just yesterday, there's nothing that changed. I can see you're
just love you
like
more.
I am. Oh, it's true. I'm so proud of you. I cannot give you enough recognition and kudos for what you have done, because I know your journey was not easy.
No.
You know?
I'm honored to serve, and I'm here.
And, yes. And, you know, that's what, you know, those of us that are in that soul group, whatever, that we came here to do this job, we're still here. You know, some of us have left to go on the other side, and I miss them always, you know.
Peace warriors. We're the peace warriors.
Yes. So we're still here. You know, Patrick Flanagan left a while back.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And some of my other darling partners, and I miss them. I miss them. You know, I always say, God, I miss my dead pill people. But
they're our ancestors now.
Yes, they are. They are. But I believe truly that what's ahead of us, that we will live hundreds of years, that's what's really in front of us. I know that you can relate to that, and know that I'm not crazy. Like, you know, some people of my family think, you know, my cousin Henry always says, well, Kathy, you know, you're the oldest now, as if it's time for me to die. No, Henry, I'm sorry.
I'm at the other end. I'm only getting younger.
So if you think I have to die before you can die, well, you're going to be here a long time. You know? So, yeah, because there are such extraordinary things that I've been told, and I'm sure you've been told. And so, you know, we just have to get past this very kind of odd era that we are in that keeps us, you know.
It's going to be incredible after August.
Okay. Thank you. I love
it. Yeah.
So I think we have to say goodbye regrettably, because I've just so enjoyed you. Thank you so much for being on Wise Women. Love you so much, so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I will. Oh, and then make sure listen, everybody, to A Different Angle that's coming on right after my show. Rodney and Kyle have always wonderful guests on their show, and they're so much fun. They're so real. I mean, they're so, like, you know, down earth real. They're not stuffed shirts that are, and they're always so fascinating and fun. I was actually their guest on their show last week. So, you know, we want to make sure that people stay on and listen to A Different Angle. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. Have a fabulous week, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.